This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Thursday, April 7th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America. It's good to be with you this morning. Now, today is Thursday of Passion Week. We're only 3 days away from the beginning of Holy Week on Palm Sunday. You can complete your Lenten journey with our special presentation, Close to Jesus to the Last, a five-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before His Passion. With Father Aki's guidance, we'll pause for an hour at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central each day to ponder the events that draw Jesus to Jerusalem, exploring each with specially selected music and prayers. Join Father Aki for Close to Jesus to the Last, a beautiful, reverent transition from Lent to Easter next week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Visit the Blessed Sacrament today if you can. If you can't, just take a moment and make a spiritual communion during the day. Think of our Lord. This is a very wonderful thing to do, a great practice, especially here during Lent. I want to bring in our Glenn Leverins. Glenn, for us sports fans, today's a big day, especially for the baseball fans. It's opening day in Major League Baseball, and some games have been postponed. There's a number of others on the docket.
I tell you, it's a great day because everybody's tied for first right now, John. So
exactly.
Hope springs eternal as the baseball season gets underway. And some of the early favorites, the always powerful LA Dodgers, John.
Yeah, some experts at MLB Network are saying they think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. Others are saying the Toronto Blue Jays. So it's always interesting to speculate. And, you know, the experts are usually not right at the end of the year. So it's not where you start, it's where you finish. But today here on day one, Wrigley Field will be hopping in Chicago. The Cubs will be hosting the rival Brewers. And that's just part of the story in the sports world today. The other big story, of course, is Tiger Woods at 46 years old, just 14 months after that horrific car accident. He is going to be playing in the Masters in Augusta, Georgia this morning. Tee time about 10:34 Eastern time. This is a big story for the golf world.
Talk about it's not how you start, but how you finish. My goodness, if I had gone through what he'd gone through 14 months ago, I'd probably be sticking to the mini golf course at this point, John.
Absolutely. So we wish Tiger all the best, and his biggest challenge will be just to hobble around the Masters golf course there in Augusta. You know, so just walking the course will be a big accomplishment for him. But apparently, he's hitting the ball really, really well. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that and all the MLB openers today. On a more somber note, the inflation or the invasion, I should say, of Ukraine by Russia is now in day 43. What's the latest?
Pentagon says this could go on for a long time, even though he's withdrawn his forces from around the Kyiv area. The Pentagon thinks that Vladimir Putin still indeed plans on controlling someday all of Ukraine and predicts the fighting could go on for as long as years here. In the meantime, worldwide condemnation continues to rain down upon Russia, especially in light of the atrocities discovered in Bucha, northwest of Ukraine, as those Russian forces departed. Japan calling for a full investigation there, and Australia slapping sanctions on Russia as well, John.
Well, we continue to pray. We got to keep a supernatural perspective to the events that sometimes can change within the hour. So, Glenn, if anything happens that's newsworthy, please let us know.
Hey, sure thing.
Thanks so much. And first things first, we begin every hour here on the show in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings, but especially continuing to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia, in Eastern Europe, through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air every morning to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As always, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 11:27. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." The Apostle St. Paul teaches that the Holy Eucharist was not merely a symbol that represented Jesus, but that to receive the Eucharist was to receive Jesus himself. Paul warns us about partaking of the Holy Eucharist in an unworthy manner, and later on he says that some are becoming sick and dying by doing so. We can be assured to receive the Lord Jesus in a worthy manner by going to confession. That's what we need to do, so that when we receive the Holy Eucharist with a clean heart, we know that we're receiving the Lord with pure intention. So let's go to confession, the sacrament of joy, as Pope Francis called it just recently, in these remaining days of Lent. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now, our next guest traveled to the Vatican recently and attended the historic consecration of Russia and Ukraine by our Holy Father, Pope Francis, at St. Peter's Basilica. It was an event that captured the attention of the world, and here's part of the Holy Father's act of consecration.
At this hour, a weary and distraught humanity stands with you beneath the cross, needing to entrust itself to you and through you to consecrate itself to Christ. The people of Ukraine and Russia, who venerate you with great love, now turn to you, even as your heart beats with compassion for them and for all those peoples decimated by war, hunger, injustice, and poverty.
Noi dunque, Madre di Dio e nostra.
Therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church, and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. Accept this act that we carry out with confidence and love. Grant that war may end and peace spread throughout the world.
And we're now joined live by His Excellency Bishop Edward Scharfenberger to tell us much more about his visit to the Eternal City and also to talk about Holy Week and Easter, which, of course, is coming up. Bishop Scharfenberger is the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York, and a regular contributor to Morning Air. Your Excellency, welcome back to the show. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, John and Glenn, and all of those who are listening, and many blessings. And my heart is full of great joy that extends really back to that beautiful expression of faith that experienced at St. Peter's, which I would just describe as touching, to see the Holy Father on his knees imploring our Mother Mary. It was an experience that I can almost describe as luminous, because there was a real sense of connection, not only of all of those who were in St. Peter's and those who were watching live streamed or on television, but a real sense of of the presence of God and of God's mercy in our midst. And of course, it was in the context of a celebration of the sacrament of penance, which is, I think, appropriate way to say it, because as you mentioned a few moments ago, it is the sacrament of joy, and brings great freedom and relief and sense of reorientation and purpose that so often, I suppose you could say that the war is a reminder to us of how disordered the world can become. And the focus of the consecration, as you mentioned, was a consecration of Russia and the Ukraine, but of all humanity, because it is only by a change of heart, and everyone's heart needs to be transformed in the according to the heart of Jesus and Mary, that will assure us that there's a foundation for peace going forward. You know, war is always an act of desperation. It's in a sense a sign of defeat before it even starts, that we've come to the point, or anyone has come to the point, where we're an invasion, where war seems to be the only option in order to achieve some purpose, you know, whatever that purpose is, whether it's self-centered, or whether it seems many, many times wars are fought, you know, in order to do what is seen to be an act of righteousness. But it's always a sign of desperation that it has to come to this point. So I'm hoping that, and what you mentioned before, there seems to be some pullback, even though many of the those that are observing this and those that have experience in the way these things go historically are anticipating a long and drawn-out conflict.
Your Excellency, Our Lady of Fatima, way back during the First World War, said that wars are a punishment from God for sin. And we remember those words during this conflict that's going on with Ukraine. We've seen atrocities against humanity, and I know the Holy Father has been speaking about it constantly, and even since the consecration. But let's go back to that special day, that luminous day, as you described it, inside of St. Peter's Basilica. What was it like for you personally to be in Rome at that precise time and to be a witness personally of this historic event of the consecration of Russia and Ukraine?
Yes, I felt it was an amazing thing. I felt, first of all, gifted, blessed to be there at that time, because, you know, I did not plan on attending that. When I made my plans to go to Rome, it was in the course of an annual visit that I make to visit, certainly with my priests and seminarians, you know, that as they are there over the years. I have two priests now who are studying, and also to visit some of the congregations in which, you know, I would have diocesan business. And we don't have to go into that, but it was, you know, let's just say a business trip. And this turned it into a pilgrimage, because my focus was on that day, you know, March 25th, which was auspicious, you know, in a way, very graceful. It's the Feast of the Annunciation, you know, and that's one of my favorite solemnities. It's what I like to think of as the dawn of hope, because it was on the event of the Annunciation that Mary said yes to God's plan to save us, to bring us a Savior. And she, the new Eve, reversed really the course of history that we were all under the spell of because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And she said, yes, be it done unto me according to your word. And so it's always to me, you know, and for all of us, a feast of great hope. So, and then I felt privileged to be there and to be able to see it with my own eyes. And I mentioned luminosity, and, you know, in a very physical sense, that was true. First of all of the lights were on, and if you've seen any pictures of that, you know, I don't remember seeing St. Peter's bathed in such light. And even the statue of Our Lady of Fatima itself, somebody pointed out to me, I happened to be with a few family members, and, you know, a sister-in-law and a brother, and one of them said to me, oh, look at the statue, it almost looks translucent, it's luminous. So I think that's why that word is in my mind. It's true. It almost seemed as though there was something, I don't know if it was miraculous, but it seemed like there was a real connection between heaven and earth, a sense of peace. And so I personally felt a tremendous sense of hope and peace and relief, even though I can't distance myself from the tremendous suffering from the refugees and those who have been injured and hurt and killed, and the families, because, you know, so many people are, as Pope Francis pointed out, the inhumanity of war is the degradation of human beings that it implies, that people become secondary to whatever the goal of the war may happen to be. People are cast aside, you know, collateral damage. We hear that term a lot. And it's a reminder to us in many ways of what has happened in our own world. And as you said, the war is being a consequence of sin, that evil thoughts and actions have consequences. So we need to ask God to remove from our hearts whatever vestiges or traces of sin. And by that I mean thoughts of revenge, thoughts, vindictive thoughts, anger, any sense that somehow or other it's our mission in some way to punish others. That's in God's hands. You know, we've all been wounded in some way. And I think, that's real. And maybe there are reasons why we sometimes carry grudges against an individual, an institution, even the church itself, you know, or some priest or a person that we knew in our lives, sometimes even a family member. But we can't hold on to that. We got to let it go. And unless we let it go, we're carrying it. You know, we're carrying that burden in our hearts. And Jesus comes to free us, you know, to set, you know, as Jesus quotes in the early pages of the Gospel of Luke, I've come to bring to prisoners freedom, to those in sorrow joy, to prisoners, you know, to release them from captivity and from our captivity to sin. So these are the kind of things which pull us down and make it difficult for us to see one another as brothers and sisters. So we end up fighting and in conflicts. So it was to sum up, it was a moment of great peace, and I felt it personally, not only with all of those who were there quietly and reverently in the Basilica, but with all of those who we were praying for and all of those who are watching throughout the world. There was a real sense of connection.
We're joined this morning by His Excellency Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York. Excellency, I want to shift gears and talk about the upcoming special week that we have coming up, the holiest week of the year, of course, Holy Week. How can we keep the people of Ukraine and Russia in our hearts as we approach this very special Holy Week?
As Catholics, we would say our connection is sacrament and prayer, and then sacrament and prayer that is expressed in action. And Holy Week is a pilgrimage. It's a kind of a summing up of the entire life and mission of Jesus Christ, you know, that we've experienced throughout the season of Lent. And Holy Week is sort of like a Lent in review, and you could say it that way, in that we, in a very, very intense way, walk the walk with Jesus from Palm Sunday throughout Holy Week. And I would encourage, as much as possible, everyone listening to make an effort not only to pick up our palms on Palm Sunday. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes folks go to church. Not everybody goes, but they go to pick up the palms for some other member of the family who's still home. And, you know, maybe somebody has to put the roast in the oven. That's understandable. But, you know, if possible, you know, get to the church and pick up your own palms and participate in the service. Some churches actually have processions sometimes that in which the liturgy calls for. The liturgy is a beautiful way to focus us on the mysteries of our faith. So, and particularly the liturgies of Holy Week, not only Palm Sunday, in which the Passion is read, but also the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, in which we commemorate the institution of the priesthood and diaconate and the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And we join in a special way there. And then Good Friday. Good Friday is a day in which there's a sense of I would almost say disorientation is the way I would put it. We don't quite know what to do. We often find even the celebration we have, it's not a mass, it's a commemoration. We say prayers, of course. We pray for many intentions, our Holy Father, for peace in the world, for our Jewish brothers and sisters and Christian brothers and sisters, non-Catholic Christians. We pray for everybody that we can think of, actually, listen to the Lord's Passion. But it's common, particularly if you live in a city area where there are maybe many different communities, to have more than one celebration, maybe in different languages, according to different cultures. We can't find words, actually, to say. And maybe that's the way it should be. We just look at that cross. We behold the wood of the cross on which hung the Savior of the world. That's central to that liturgy. And we just maybe the best approach is simply to look, as Mary and John did, upon the cross, upon the crucified, this incredible act of love of God for us by taking on our flesh and dying in it. And then after the quiet and after the somberness of Good Friday and the silence of Holy Saturday, there's no Mass celebrated on Holy Saturday, we end the Triduum with the beautiful Easter Vigil, in which many people come into the church, are baptized, make a full profession of faith. It's a joyous celebration, the singing of the Exultet, and in the darkness of the church, the candle, and then into the Easter season. So a lot happens in the course of 1 week, and just as a lot happened in the course of 3 days when Christ historically was personally present among us and died and rose. And we join in that. It's the beautiful thing about our sacraments, in particular the Eucharist, is that it really puts us into the real presence of God in our midst. And it reminds us that there's a connection. We're not as far from heaven as we may think. And even though our sins darken, you know, our vision, that God is always close to us. And I would encourage everyone to participate in these liturgies and prayer. And I think that if you do, you will find this a powerful renewal of your faith.
Your Excellency, we have about 2 minutes left. The Holy Father gave us a great example at that penance service at the Vatican by going to confession himself and then hearing confessions from regular folks. Can you talk briefly about the importance of trying to get to confession here before the Easter Triduum?
Yes, there's no better time than the present, you know, as they say. And I'm glad you mentioned it. During this whole pandemic that we've been through, many people have put off taking care of themselves, you know, because of maybe fear of the contagion and so forth. I would just say the same thing sometimes happens with confession. We put off what really should be taken care of now. Let's make a resolution that we're not going to put it off. And, you know, you'll feel so much better after making that confession. It doesn't matter whether it's been years and years. The priest is there to be Christ's merciful presence, and do yourself a favor and allow the Lord to unburden you of your sin and to be clean and to experience the joy of forgiveness.
Amen. Can you give us your blessing, Your Excellency?
I certainly will. My prayer is that the Lord may touch the hearts of everyone who is hearing this, to whatever you need to receive from the Lord at this point in your life, that the Lord may touch your heart, bless you, give you peace, heal you, and affirm in you the confidence that God loves you tremendously enough to die for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Your Excellency. Bishop Edward Scharfenberger, the Bishop of the Diocese of Albany, New York, and a regular contributor to Morning Air. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, you'll hear my conversation with Father James Kubicki about ways to pray during Lent as we approach Holy Week. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Can you believe that Good Friday is only a week away from tomorrow? How's your Lent going so far? Are you ready for Holy Week and the Easter Triduum that's been called the 3 days that changed the course of history? Holy Week and Easter are no doubt big events, and these are the last few days of Lent. We need to rededicate ourselves to prayer, to just talking from the heart to the good Lord. In case you missed it, I spoke to our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki, on Morning Air about ways to pray during Lent. Father Kubicki is a Jesuit priest, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and a longtime Relevant Radio contributor with his daily prayer reflections. Listen to the first part of my conversation with Father James Kubicki. Good morning, Father Kubicki. Thanks for joining us. It's great to be with you once again here down the stretch of Lent.
Thank you, John. And, you know, I think it's important that we take stock. You know, as we said, we're four weeks into Lent, almost done with the fourth week of Lent. And sometimes, you know, people start off with great intentions and resolutions. And after a couple weeks or so, they maybe begin to forget, and then they give up. And so I think it's important as we head into the home stretch of Lent and prepare for Holy Week that we consider, you know, how we're doing with our Lenten practices. And, you know, for me, one of the things that I did was to include a daily novena. You know, novena is 9 days of prayer, and what I've been doing is repeating the 9 days as we go through Lent, but I'm using a novena called the Novena of Surrender, the Surrender Novena. And I chose this as my Lenten prayer because I felt in my own life I needed to surrender more to God and trust more in God's guidance in the work that I'm doing here at St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation. And so I've found this really a helpful novena, and every day I pray 10 times, O Jesus, I surrender myself to you and take care of everything. And I love that phrase, take care of everything. And he knows what we need. And so it's a little way that I've been adding a prayer to my Lenten practice. And I'm wondering, John, you know, did you decide to do something during Lent, maybe a little different this year yourself, or maybe our listeners have chosen to do a different kind of prayer this Lent that is helpful to them? Love to hear what you have to say.
Absolutely. If our listeners want to be part of our discussion on prayer here during Lent, or maybe you might have a question or comment for Father Kubicki, our number is 888-914-9149. Not too early to jump on the bandwagon here and be with us. Please don't wait till the very end, because oftentimes we get all these calls at the very end and we can't get them all on. So 888-914-9149. You know, I love praying with Scripture, Father Kubicki. I know that you know we are working on trying to be fundamentally sound here during Lent. You know, the three basics of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We're focusing in on prayer here this morning, but I think that, you know, praying with Scripture, you know, is a beautiful thing, because you know that these are not just human words. These are the words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, using men as the instruments. And so every day I've been reading a chapter from the New Testament and letting those words just soak in and underlining them and really reflecting on them to let the gospel story come to life in my heart.
Oh, that's really good, John, because, you know, as you said, this is the Word of God. It's not a book like any other book. We don't read it for information because we've heard it before, we've read it before, and we don't read it for entertainment, but we read it to have our minds and hearts formed by God's Word, by God speaking to us. And I think that's especially true for the Gospels, you know. During these last few weeks of Lent, the Church gives us Gospel readings from the Gospel of John, where we see the controversy heating up, where we see the opponents of Jesus becoming more and more active in their opposition to him. And then we begin to get readings like from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, who suffered just as Jesus suffered in many ways, being rejected by the leaders of his time. And all of this is designed to prepare us for Holy Week, where we enter into those final days of Jesus' earthly life. And so I really, that's a great encouragement to all our listeners to take up the Gospels and to, especially as we prepare for Holy Week, to maybe go through the Passion story of Jesus in each of the Gospels. That's a great way to prepare for Holy Week and for Easter.
Absolutely. And just on a personal note, you know, it's not that tough to show up a few minutes early for Mass, maybe 10 minutes. That's all it takes. You spend those 10 minutes quietly reflecting on the Gospels and getting yourself ready in the right mood for Mass. And I think the Lord can do wonderful things in just a few minutes of meditation and really letting that scripture soak into your mind and into your heart.
Thank you for that suggestion, John, because, you know, just recently I was in Keewaskum, Wisconsin. I was at St. Michael's Church in St. Michael's, Wisconsin, and in Holy Trinity Church in Keewaskum, and I gave a parish mission there about the Eucharist, and one of the things I emphasized was that preparation for Mass, you know, that we need to spend a little time, come a little earlier, just to prepare our hearts, to have in mind an intention for the Mass that we're about to pray with the priest. And Father Jacob Strand was really creative in doing this. He's the pastor of those parishes, and he has a little prayer that the people pray right before Mass, in which they basically call to mind why they are there to worship God and also what intention they're bringing to the Mass, their own personal intention for different people or something going on in their life. So it really helps us prepare to hear the Word of God better and then to pray the Mass with the priest. So I really recommend that, taking that little extra time, coming to church early, settling down and becoming quiet as we prepare to pray the Mass with the priest.
You know, Father Kubicki, as a former athlete and a sports reporter, former baseball player, I learned the importance of preparation. You don't just show up 2 minutes before the game and run out on the field. You get there early and you warm up. And so it's a similar mindset. You don't just walk in at the last moment, you know, as the priest is going up to the altar. You want to get there a few minutes early so you can spend some time and get yourself recollected and be prepared for what's about to unfold in the Mass and in the Holy Eucharist.
That's right. And, you know, often these little practices that we pick up during Lent, praying a little more with Scripture or coming earlier to Mass, these are good habits that we can carry through into our daily life. Because as you said, John, it takes just a couple minutes more coming to Mass a little earlier or spending that time reading a chapter of the Gospel or a letter of St. Paul every day. It's a great habit to get into, and hopefully, you know, the habits that we start in Lent or that we have in Lent are things that have nourished us and helped us in our relationship with God, and they're things that we're inspired then to want to carry forward in one way or another.
Father Kubicki, here during Lent, you know, we're encouraged to give something up, you know, abstinence, you know, chocolate, coffee, you know, whatever it might be, video games. But we can actually make our abstinence a prayer in action. Can you talk about that idea?
Well, part of it is this is something I became more, let's say, aware of, cognizant of, when I first encountered the Native people of the Lakota tribe with whom I work. And they have a form of prayer called the Inipi, which is a sweat lodge. And it's not like a sauna. It's really tough. And what I learned through that when I participated once in this prayer form was the importance of praying with our bodies. And so if we experience a little discomfort, whether it's a little hunger pain or something like that, that itself is a prayer. It's reminding us of our what should be our deepest hunger, which is for the Lord. And so when we fast or abstain from something that we really enjoy, hopefully, especially maybe abstaining from video games or abstaining from watching the news constantly, that can create a space in our lives too, where we now have more time for prayer or for works of charity. And so I think the three go together: prayer, abstinence and fasting, and then also works of charity. Hopefully they all work together to help us to be better Catholics.
Again, I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share ways in which you're bringing prayer into your life here during Lent, or maybe if you're struggling with prayer and you'd like some help from Father Kubicki, we're here for you. You are an important part of the show. We have open lines. Give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break. We're going to continue our conversation on prayer here down the stretch of Lent with Father James Kubicki, our spiritual director. Stay with us. There's much more to come. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We're talking about prayer here in the season of Lent. We're talking about a prayer with our spiritual director, Father James Kubicki. If you want to be part of the conversation, if you want to open up your heart and share your challenges, your struggles with prayer perhaps, or maybe share with us exactly how you're going about praying here during Lent, our number, 888-914-9149. We have lines open for you. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. Father Kubicki, welcome back.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you. You know, as I told you, John, I've been giving some parish missions during Lent, and tomorrow I'll be flying off to Seattle, the Church of the Sacred Heart in Bellevue, Washington. And again, I've been talking about the Eucharist quite a bit because, you know, that's the greatest prayer that we have. The Second Vatican Council and popes ever since have quoted a line that says that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And so I'm sure many of our listeners have gotten in the habit of going to weekday Mass during Lent. And that, too, is a great Lenten practice, a great Lenten prayer. So I just encourage in these last couple weeks of Lent, if you have a chance to go to a weekday Mass, take advantage of that.
No question. The Blessed Sacrament, our Lord Jesus Christ, truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity inside the tabernacle is really what it's all about. In fact, I'm encouraged by St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuits, who wrote, "Jesus in the tabernacle is my God and my all." I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, that's he's quoting there St. Thomas, who, when Jesus appeared after he rose from the dead, and Thomas questioned whether he had really risen because he wasn't there at the first appearance to the apostles. And when he did see Jesus and then touched the wounds, that's what he said, "My Lord and my God." And it's a great prayer in itself. You know, often those short little prayers, if we pray them when we're receiving communion, and at other times during the day, those little prayers can help us stay focused in our daily lives and also help us grow in our spiritual lives.
Father Kubicki, can you talk about what we can do as Catholic Christians in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Some practical advice on how to spend time with our Lord one-on-one. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him.
That's a great quote, John. That's what St. John Vianney heard an elderly man say when he saw the man in church day after day, and he wondered, you know, he didn't have a book. He was just sitting there. And so he went up to him and asked him, you know, "What are you doing when you come here to pray?" And he said, "Well, I look at him and he looks at me." And, you know, that's the simplest form of prayer, because if you think about it, when you love someone deeply, you don't have to use a lot of words. It's good to tell that person you love them. That's important. It's good to hear that person say to you, "I love you." But at a certain point, words can't say enough. And so it's enough just to gaze into the eyes of another person. Pope St. John Paul II had a beautiful image of this. He said that he hoped the tabernacle would be like a magnetic pole that would attract an ever greater number of souls enamored of the Lord and quiet and still in his presence and able to, as it were, sense the beating of his heart, which is, I think, a beautiful image. When we believe that Jesus is present, body and blood, soul and divinity, in the tabernacle or exposed on the altar in the monstrance, we believe that Jesus is present there, the entire Jesus, including his Sacred Heart that continues to beat with love for us. And so just to be aware of that and in his presence is, I think, a good prayer when we go before the Blessed Sacrament. And of course, you know, it's always good if we begin to get distracted and tired. It's good to have a spiritual book that we can pick up. St. Teresa of Avila said she never began prayer without a good spiritual book that would help focus her attention when she began to get distracted and thinking about herself or about her problems. And that book would focus her and also, as it were, prime the pump for her prayer. So I think it's good to have a spiritual book that we can bring along with prayers or reflections that can, again, help us focus on the Lord and the deep love that he shows us in the Eucharist.
888-914-9149. We have time for Christina joining us this morning from Boston, Massachusetts. Christina, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to comment on, you asked what people did during Lent, and I remember listening on the radio and all of you saying at one time or another on the show that it's fine to give things up, but sometimes you have to do a little more. So what I've done is I offered up each moment when I'm not watching television and I'm listening to the radio, that I offer that up to the Lord. And, of course, I'm listening to all of you on Revelant Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Christina. That's great suggestions. And I love the fact, you know, sometimes people don't think, they think that you have to pray, you have to be in church or in your own house or room. But to say, no, you can pray in the car. And I have always found listening to good Christian music in the car, or, as you said, you know, praying the melody of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and just praying that over and over in the car. You don't have to follow along with the beads. You can pray those prayers because they're beautiful invocations. So that's great advice for all of us, to pray in the car and to pray those little prayers throughout the day.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Dolly. Father Kubicki, I couldn't help but think of St. John Paul II when you were talking about Eucharistic adoration. Quick thought and what he meant to the love of the Blessed Sacrament.
Well, you know, he's the one who called for the year of the Eucharist, and who the first encyclical of the new millennium was about the Eucharist. And the one word that he hoped for all of us would be was that we would all have a sense of Eucharistic amazement, that if we really thought about the gift God has given us in the Eucharist, Jesus' own body and blood, that there's one word to describe our reaction. It would be amazement. And so I really encourage our listeners to, you know, again, pray the Mass and approach it with a sense of wonder and awe at the great gift God has given us in Jesus and his body and blood.
Thanks so much, Father Kubicki. As always, I really do appreciate Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Sting Is Gone. A little boy and his father were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a bumblebee flew in the car window. Since the little boy was deathly allergic to bee stings, he became petrified. His father quickly reached out, grabbed the bee, squeezed it in his hand, and then released it. As soon as he let it go, the young son became frantic once again as it buzzed by the little boy. The father sensed his son's terror. Once again, he reached out his hand, but this time he pointed to the hand, and there, stuck in the skin, was the stinger of the bee. "You see this?" he asked. "You don't need to be afraid anymore. I've taken the sting for you." The Christian does not need to be afraid of death, because Christ has taken the sting out of death and sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?"
Thanks so much, Glenn. And I just want to remind you that you can complete your Lenten journey with our special presentation, Close to Jesus to the Last, a special 5-day spiritual walkthrough of Jesus' final days before his passion. With Father Rocky's guidance, we'll pause for an hour, 11 a.m., 6 p.m. Central, every day next week to take a look at the events of our Lord Jesus. Join Father Rocky, Close to Jesus to the Last, right here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And of course, let's continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. You can play along with Drew Mariani on the Chaplet of Divine Mercy this afternoon and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky tonight. As Jesus the Lord has said to us so many times, and he keeps saying it to our hearts, let our hearts not be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. And that's why it is so important that we continue to draw our hearts to our Lord, to continue to be open to the Holy Spirit as we approach the holiest week of the year, Holy Week, which begins this Sunday with Palm Sunday. So one last little recommendation, as Father Rocky has said so many times, if you can, make it to confession here during Lent in the final days before the Easter Triduum. If you do nothing else, that's the best thing you can do to make sure you have a beautiful and wonderful Easter Triduum. I'm John Morales. God bless you. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow.